all ask questions. Why is the sky blue? What happened to all the dinosaurs? What was the best thing before sliced bread? But some questions are more important than others. How do I forgive someone even when I feel like I can't? What's my purpose in life? How can I be the parent God wants me to be and the one my kids need me to be? So where do we turn? To the one that has all the answers. We'll tackle some of life's most complex issues and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
All right, good morning. How is everybody this morning? High five three people and let them know you're happy they're here. Even if you ain't. Hey, that's really easy. You can say the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You gave the Trinity a high five today. You guys are awesome. All right, man. I'm so excited that we get to be here today, man. I'm going to tell you, God is just faithful. We were just laughing today as we got to load in about how this time last year we were trying to figure out a ramp on a U-Haul and how shaky it was and getting chairs up and down. I don't even think we had casters on chair carts at this moment in time. They were flopping all over the place. Like, God has just been so faithful, and it's all about Him. It's all about what He's doing. Guys, nobody stands up here. It's not about making our name famous. It's about making Jesus' name more famous each and every week, and that's what we do here at the Vine Church. So whether you're joining us online or whether you're here in the house or whether you're thinking about coming in the house, I want to tell you, there have been some people that did some awesome things to get breakfast ready, to hang out before the service. So there's something that we're working on, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to make happen before it's all said and done. So if you want to come hang out, maybe you show up around 9:30. Maybe there's muffins. Maybe there's chocolate-covered strawberries sometimes. Maybe there's fruit. Maybe there's bagels. Maybe there's juice, coffee. Did I miss something? Capri Suns, I think we had at some point. I don't know. We've got all kind of crazy stuff. So maybe you want to come hang out with us. It's something we're working on, but we would love to have you in the house because we believe in gathering together. We believe in the Big C Church. We believe that we are not made to do life alone, that life change happens best inside of Christian community. So saying that, we know that we all have questions. You know, this time of year, we had a lot of questions this time of year last year. Man, like I said, could Tyler figure out how to back up the U-Haul correctly? And the answer is still no. Could Tyler back up a trailer? We're still working on that. Could we have a stage that was bigger than three pieces? Could we have a full worship team? Which, by the way, the Vine Worship, how crazy awesome was that? We were answering and asking, like this time last year, we had YouTube videos we were working off of. Like, that's how faithful God is. Like, He brought someone along because I was back here doing interpretive dance during the videos. It was bad. So the Lord made a way. But if we're completely honest, we have questions about our walk with Christ. Like, we have questions about God. We've got questions about the church and questions about the Bible. And here in our last week of You Ask For It, I'm excited to dive into a question that, whether you're a Christian or not, you've probably asked this question. Are we in the end times? Are we in the end times? Pin drops. I love it. Because it's a weird question. Whether you follow Jesus or not, we always ask this question. So that being said, maybe you have a Bible, maybe you don't. If you would like one, we have one free for the asking, but something that our team has been working on, our creative team does, it's incredible how we get to come together as a church and do that, is if you have the Bible app on your phone, guess what? You can follow along. So if you're watching online or you're here in the house and you don't have your Bible with you and you would like a free one, we'll give it to you for the asking. Just ask for it at the garden. We'd love to give you one. But if you've got your Bible app, we're going to show you how you can follow with us online. And it's going to be important. You're going to want that today because there is a map that we're going to talk through a little bit later. I didn't draw it, so you can probably read it. But there's going to be a map a little bit later that'll help you on the Bible app. So let us show you how to get there on your phone. I'm going to show you right here on the screen. So if you go to your phone, you can open up the Bible app. And we know what happens is you click on the Bible app and you open up the More tab. When you click the More tab, make sure you have location services on. And when you do that, you'll be able to click on events, and you'll see the Vine Worship Experience. And we would love to get information to you. It shows how we can pray with you, connect with you, how we can answer questions with you, but more importantly, a place where you can take notes and follow along in Scripture, because today we're going to be a little bit in different places in the Old and New Testament. So if you're worried about following along in your Bible and you're trying to frantically flip through pages and you miss what God has for you, we've got a tool for you if you would like to do that. So that's how you can do that, whether you're watching online or here in the house. So that being said, let's dive in to this thing called the end times. Because it's bizarre, right? Like, he gets quiet right here. Like, if you want to change a subject, if you really want silence in your house, like, Thanksgiving's coming up in a few weeks. You're welcome. Get ready for them Black Friday sales. I know you're ready. Thanksgiving's coming up, and if people are just screaming, just say, we're in the end times, and just, it'll get silent like this. Like, everybody will just be like, brr? Like, it'll just be weird. Everybody's trying to figure it out. But here's the thing, like, we're so fascinated with this. Whether you follow Jesus or not, you're fascinated with it. Like, the world, the climate that we're in right now, like, we all talk about this. Like, if you like Lord of the Rings, you remember the end times. Like, if you're a fan of those things, or you're a fan of anything, maybe you're a Star Wars fan. We got to hear some folks about that. Maybe the Death Star is the end times for you. We just talk about these end times thing. These end times thing. No, not Mort from Mort. We're not talking about that guy. But, like, we talk about end times for real. So much so, we're so fascinated with end times. Let me give you some stats about some end times. As I was diving into this thing, some things that honestly I was reminded of that made me laugh a little bit. So in 1988, how many of us were alive in 88? It was 30 years ago. 30 years ago. I'm reminding myself of that daily, and so is my body. 30 years ago, in 1988, this guy named Edgar Wisenhunt sold 4.3 million copies of a book. The name of the book? 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988. So 30 years later, I just want to tell you, the rapture hasn't happened. And it rolled around, and January 1st, 1989 came out. And you would think that Mr. Wisenhunt would think, man, I'm shameful, I'm disgraced, I got it wrong. But he was so disgraced, he wrote another book in 1989 that said 4 reasons why the rapture will happen in 1989. And all of a sudden, 1989 happened. He didn't party like it was 1999, but 1989. And all of a sudden, December 31st, 1989 happens, and we roll into the 90s on January 1st, and they were asking Edgar Wisenhunt, what are you going to tell God when you get to heaven because you try to predict the end times? He said, I'm going to tell him at least I tried. Like, that's what he's going to say. Some other things that we've talked about is 1997, this thing called Heaven's Gate. Does anybody remember that? Started with a choir director. I don't see the choir riser here. No offense to anyone, so if we get a thumbs down on that, that's okay. But it started with a choir director at a church. And they believed that Jesus would rapture them up behind the Hale-Bopp comet. Now, he didn't blink either. He, like, had his eyes open the whole time, shaved his head. It was really crazy. And they believed that when this comet passed over, that the end times were going to happen, and they were going to be raptured up, and the end times would come. And they believed it so much so that they literally drank Kool-Aid and committed mass suicide in 1997. Because they wanted the end times so bad. So you'd think it would stop there. Just 18 short years ago, we had the wonderful Y2K scares. Everybody remember that? All your bank accounts are going to be wiped out because somewhere in the miraculous minds of those who created the PCs and laptops and phones in the world, we believe that Apple and Windows couldn't figure out how in the world to make the computers roll over to 2000. So everybody's freaking out. So everybody partied like it was 1999 and 1999. I think Prince had something to do with that. But anyway, they partied like it was 1999, and it rolled over December 31st, 99, rolled over into January 1st, 2000, and we all went grocery shopping and bought clothes because all of a sudden the Y2K scare just wasn't it. Didn't stop there. We talk about end times. Does anybody remember what December 21st, 2012 means? The end of the Mayan calendar. Remember all that nonsense? See, it's so much so, we think about end times so much, like somebody thought the end times were going to, it was over yesterday. Like, it's just, it's yesterday's news. It's so, or over these past few weeks, if you follow the news, which thank God I don't have time to. But everybody thinks that we're in the end times right now. Like, it's end times, right? Like, December 21st, 2012 happened. Like, I didn't even go Christmas shopping. I figured it wasn't going to happen anyway. So what was the point, right? So then December 22nd rolled around, and I did, you know, the single guy perspective. I went and grabbed gift cards because that's how I roll. And then all of a sudden, it happened. December 22nd, 2012 happened, and we were still here. So my question is, and I want to just start out by answering this. Are we in the end times? Yes. We've been in the end times for almost 2,000 years, guys. Since Jesus ascended back to heaven and said, I will return and I will come again, we have been in the end times. I hope that you know that. So when anybody asks that question to you and you have this yearning in your heart and you're trying to figure out if it's true or not, if we're in end times, yes, yes, we are. Now, there's some things about that and some caveats about that, but I want you to know that, yes, we are in the end times, and you can either be afraid or you can be really excited about it. And as for me, I got faith. I'm excited about it because there's some crazy things. Now, I'm not going to write a book about 2018 reasons why it's going to happen in 2018. I don't think I could put 2018 reasons together because it would just be three: macaroni and cheese. That would be the reason it happens. And maybe two more: banana pudding. That would be five reasons why the rapture's happening in 2018. So in our life, I want you to know, yes, we are in the end times. So today I want to talk to you about three things about the end times. And I wish I could spend forever on it. I wish I could spend, as a matter of fact, we'll spend eternity talking about it one day. But that being said, like, I wish I could take a long, long study. If you ever want to know about end times prophecy, go to your local bookstore, go to the Christian Reference, go to Amazon, go to Audible, and type in end times prophecy, and you're going to see a ton about it. You're going to see a ton about it. There are books upon books upon books written about it. But here's the one book that matters, the Holy Bible. Read the Bible. Let me tell you some scripture. We're not going to dive into all of it today, but if you really want to read about end times prophecy, obviously, Revelation is where you want to be. You actually want to start in Genesis. There are some chapters. Daniel 11 is another book you can read that talks about end times prophecy, believe it or not, Daniel 11 and 12, and Ezekiel 38 and 39, which some of those we're going to dive into today. So I just want to tell you, we're going to talk about three points about the end times, but further reading for you, Revelation, dive into Genesis, see what God says about what he's going to do with his creation. If you want specific chapters, go in Revelation, every chapter, Daniel 11 in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and just see what God teaches you about the end times prophecy through that. You might be surprised. You might be surprised. So today, if you're taking notes, you're following along on your phone or you're following along, we're just going to scratch the surface on end times, but I believe that is something that's important and incredible. So we've already answered the question, so that don't mean tune out. Yes, we're in end times. So if you're taking notes, first thing you need to write, yes. And if it takes up the whole page, that's cool. But if you're taking real deep notes, the first thing I want to talk to you about today is the return. The return. The return. I'm not talking about your Amazon package. I'm not talking about a kickoff or a punt return. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about the return of Jesus. Jesus is coming back. He is coming again. And let me tell you how I know this. John 14, verses 1 through 3 says this: do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. It's my Father's house. I'm just kidding. That broke out every teenage kid that grew up in Baptist church in the 90s knows that song. If it were not so, would I not have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, what does it say? I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be also where I am. So Jesus says this in John. And this guy named John, you know, if I'm going to be in the book of John, I'm going to tear up some John. So if we're going to be talking about some John, we might as well go to the book of Revelation and see what it says. Revelation 22:20 says this: he who testifies of these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. John, he's got some good stuff. He's dropping it. The apostle of love knows what he's talking about. He's here. He writes in Revelations about Jesus saying he will come again. So as we talk about this thing called the return, I just want to ask you, are you excited about this or are you scared? Only you can answer that. All throughout 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, those are another books you can read about end times prophecy, believe it or not. It talks about how the Thessalonians lived, and this thing about Jesus' return is they believed the next thing we'll talk about in a little bit was going to happen any day now. And so that being said, they lived every day like it was their last. They left nothing on the table. They believed that their loved ones needed to hear about Jesus coming and coming again. Now, this is 2,000 years ago. They believed that. They lived every day like that. They lived their life like that. So my question is, if Christ came again tomorrow, are you scared or do you have faith? I got faith. I believe that I'm going to be able to sing so beautifully in heaven that it's not going to scare people, that dogs aren't going to bark at me, that cats aren't going to yelp and meow, and the worship team's not going to have to turn up their ears a little bit, turn up their little in-ear monitors, that guy on the front row, like that being said, right? Like, I'm going to believe that with all my heart. I'm going to believe that I'm going to be with Jesus for eternity. I believe I'm going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to get to see people. There are not going to be any tears. That I'm going to be in a new body. Praise God and amen. Maybe this is the new body. It is what it is, right? Like, but it's just going to work out. Like, there's going to be a new body, and we're going to be able to fellowship. We're going to have an awesome supper together. Like, I believe when Jesus comes back, it's going to be amazing and incredible. Now, the only people that might have fear about this is maybe you're engaged to be married and your wedding day is the day after Jesus returns and you're like, we had all that stress for nothing, right? Like, maybe that's where you are. But I just want you to get excited, because here's the reason that this matters to us. When Jesus said he was going to return, I don't know if you know this, but there are over 400 accounts, some say even over 500 eyewitness accounts of Jesus being seen after he resurrected from the dead for the 40 days that he walked the earth. Can you believe that? He told every one of them he was coming back soon. And then he ascended into heaven, and he says, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
He terminated it, y'all. Like, he just straight up said, he'll be back. So my question is, are you joyfully living your life in faith to know that he's going to return? Maybe right now, I'm not stupid to the fact that there is some crazy things going on in the world, and there's some things that make you might question your faith a little bit and see if Jesus really is here. And I promise you that he is. And I promise you that I know that he's coming back, and I'm living like he's coming back. The rest of the world is living for Christmas. They're living for Thanksgiving. They're living for the next thing that comes. They're living for something that can satisfy them for a moment temporarily. But even if Christ comes back tomorrow, I'm excited. Because I know the people that I'm here with right now that know him, y'all got to put up with me for eternity. So maybe you're in the room three doors down. I don't know. Maybe that's where you are and you're excited. You put the do not disturb on when I come by. But I'm telling you, I'm excited because I'm living my life like it's the last one I have. Like, the word that he has with me to share to you today is like it's the last word I'm ever going to share with you. And I wonder if we lived our life like that, how much different the world would be. How much more encouraging would, how much would those stupid little arguments we have not happen? But yet we wonder who sat in the seat, who cut you off at the red light. I'm going to have to deal with that later, I know. Like, all those things, right? Like, all those things that happen. Would we live like the end times are now? Will we live so much that we loved our loved ones that we would know that the last time we talked to them, they knew Jesus was whose name we made famous instead of ours or the argument or the thing that was going on in our life? Because we are in the end times. He promises he will come. He promises he will come like a thief in the night. Like, we have to be prepared for him to come back. So the thing that I wanted to share with you about the return is you can either live it in faith or fear. I'm going to live mine in faith, and I hope that you would join me to know that Jesus is going to return. The second thing, oh, the one that we talk about so much, the rapture. Not the rapture, the rapture. And I think this is the one that we get confused a lot, okay? So the thing we'll talk about here in a little bit is the second coming. Jesus promises he'll return, and there are two things that will happen when he returns. We have this thing called the rapture and this thing called the second coming we'll talk about here in just a minute. We get those confused. We think the rapture is Jesus' second coming, but we're going to see in Scripture that that's not Jesus' second coming. It's actually where Jesus takes the church up to be with him before tribulation, okay? So I told you we're going to scratch the surface on this. If you want to dive into what the tribulation looks like and all that, what this means in the rapture is Jesus says, my church will be with me and I will take them up before this tribulation comes. There will be some that are left behind. Hope we're not the left behind. There's a great movie about that if you want to watch it. But the rapture is this thing that's not the second coming of Christ. It's where Jesus takes the entire church up to be with him before tribulation starts, okay? The rapture. This is where living Christians are literally snatched up. The Bible says it this way. Matthew 24 says, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. Time out. Here's what I want to tell you about this. All the way through as I'm reading this through. Here's what I want to tell you about this. When we look at Matthew 24, and I'll read this out loud. Jesus said, many will come in his name and will deceive you. Did you know that from the year 1900, there have been over 1,100 claims of people being the Messiah? That's 4 years worth of every day someone saying they are Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about sharing Jesus. I'm talking about literally saying they're Jesus. Jim Jones ring a bell. David Koresh ring a bell. Hey, there are some people now that even have this complex of the Messiah and say they are Jesus. There are people right now that are in the world deceiving people, saying that they are Jesus, that they are Jesus. So I'm going to go ahead and read this on to you because it may not pop up. I might have got that wrong. Sorry, team in the back, when I shared the scripture. And it says this: you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. That's living in faith here during the rapture. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. This should sound familiar. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Earthquakes. There was just a huge earthquake not too long ago in Indonesia, I believe. I believe it was a huge one, right? They just had a tsunami. Just had some things. Maybe it was in, I know it was an island nation. I don't know if you know this, but Jerusalem since July 4th has had an earthquake a week this year. I say Jerusalem, Israel, 3.4 or higher. Think something's not up? You think all this doesn't matter? Jesus said that this is going to happen. He even says it's going to happen in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. I just want to take a time out to say, thank you, creative team. You're incredible because you got that up. I can't say thank you guys enough for getting that happen. I shared the wrong thing, and they love you enough that they wanted to make sure that you had the right scripture. I'm sorry about that. So we're going to continue on in verse 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Does that scare you or does that get you excited? I mean, who wants to be put to death? I know. But if we've already given our lives to Christ, we've already died to ourselves. So what does this physical body matter? And you will be hated by all nations because of me. How many nations do you see right now rising up against the name of Jesus? Hey, I even see in our own country right now that people are afraid of Christians. Isn't that scary? Isn't that weird? But to me, I have faith to know, hey, if you rise against me, that's okay because I'm not the one fighting the battle. It's just another opportunity for me to show you the love of Christ. As you put down my Lord and Savior, I get to show you who he is. I get to serve you. I get to love you. At that time, many will turn away from their faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear, and deceive many people. Because of the increase in wickedness, this is the scariest thing to me. And this is what I'm afraid of, church. This is the thing that keeps me up at night, church. This is the thing that I worry about what we do, church, because it says this: the love of most will grow cold. That's in verse 12 if you're taking notes and you want to look back at that. The love of most will grow cold. What is it that we say we do at the Vine Church? We live out the Great Commission and how we love God and love others. Right now, we live in a world where love seems to have grown cold. And the way that we stand out as Christians, the way that we show the world who Jesus is in how we love God and love others. It's that simple. Yet in the end times, Jesus says here in Matthew, the love of some will grow cold. I'll put it to you this way. I got to share with someone this week. We have an awesome power plant team, as what we call them, that is our prayer team. So if you ever need a prayer request, let us know at prayer@thevine.tv. We would love to pray for you and with you and over you. But I was sharing with someone who is a Christian this great opportunity we have and some of the things that come across the wire there and a situation that came up, and someone was just in a tough spot. They were just dealing with life and made some decisions that they wish they didn't, but it's something that they couldn't reverse. I'll just put it to you that way. The decision they made, they couldn't reverse. Medically, it just couldn't happen. And you know the first thing that Christian asked me? Well, why would they go and do that? They ruined their life. And I realized their love had grown cold for this person. And I wonder how many people in the church hear about the situation that people who don't know Jesus are walking through, the seasons they're in, the irreparable damage that they've done to their life that they can't fix, which honestly only Jesus can fix. We know that. And how many times we look at those people and say, why would they do that? Because they don't know Jesus. Why else wouldn't they? Right now, we live in a time, church, where our love is growing cold. And so we as the church have an opportunity. We as a church can stand up and rise up and love God and love others and be the church that Jesus has called us to be. What I love about our church is we're not afraid to do that. But I want to tell you what sets the church apart from the rest of the world is how we love. So Jesus says that the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So this thing about the rapture where we get caught up and snatched away, there have been some cool movies about it. There have been some cool things. And it even says in the word where two will be working in the field and one will be snatched up and one will be left. I joke about it sometimes when folks aren't here. I wonder if I'm the left behind, if there was a rapture that happened. You hear me joking about it. But for real, this is Jesus bringing his church up to be with him. Before these crazy tribulation times happen, before this crazy thing happens in the end times on the earth. So this thing about the rapture and this thing about being there is I just want you to know, one of the things, if I'm completely honest, that scared me a little bit because I wasn't living in faith but fear is, what if the whole world hears the gospel in my lifetime? Because he says the end will come then. What if I don't have kids? What if I don't have a wife? What if I don't have grandkids? What if I haven't achieved that college education? What if I haven't done all these things by the time the entire world hears the gospel? And Jesus has changed my heart so much in that. Because I was worried about my goals and what I wanted to do and not what he created me to do. So much so I literally got to live that out about this time last year. Over Memorial Day, I got to hang out with our family at Hope Rising Ministries, and we got to go into the middle of a city and find a needle in a haystack of people that didn't even have the book of John translated in their language. They didn't know what the Bible was. They didn't know what the gospel was. They had never heard it. Now there's, what, the entire New Testament and more has been translated in as little as a year. So if you think that this can't happen, I'm living in faith that it's going to happen in my lifetime because there's no reason why everyone around the world shouldn't hear the gospel and experience the love of Jesus. I used to live in fear because I wanted to live out my goal instead of in faith in what God made me to do. And I'm questioning, hey, maybe that's where you are right now. You hear about this end time. You hear about the end coming. You hear about the rapture. And you're worried about everything you hadn't done instead of living the life that God's called you to live. And you know how you can live it? Just love. Love. Get to know your neighbor. Love. Do those things. That's what it's about. So I just want you to know, when this rapture happens, when the world hears about Jesus, there's going to be something awesome for all of us. Because we're about to talk about what's going to happen through Ezekiel 38 and this tribulation for a moment. And I want you to know, Jesus has not only saved us from death and the grave, but he's going to save us from praying for the mountains to fall on our head. How great of a God do we serve? That's crazy. Blows my mind. So Ezekiel 38 says it this way. Ezekiel 38, verse 1 through 7 is where we're going to go. If you're following along on the Bible app, it'll take it just a minute. It'll pop up on screen for you here in just a minute. But Ezekiel 38 is where we're going to go, verse 1 through 7. And then we're going to explain these things because he's got some crazy cool names. Now, if you got kids that are named this, you're an awesome person because they're definitely going to stand out, okay? So Ezekiel 38 says this, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face against Gog." Wow. If Gog wasn't good enough, it's in the land of Magog. Yeah, you like that, don't you? "The chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." Yeah, "prophesy against him and say this." That cracks me up. If I ever name my kid that, it's going to be fun. "Say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords, Persia, Cush, and Put." Not golf. It's exciting, though, right? Like, we know Persia for rugs, right? Like, that's just one of those things. "Cush and Put." Sounds like a movie, right? "We'll be with them, all with shields and helmets. And also Gomer with all its troops." We've heard about Gomer. If you ever read the book of Hosea, we know who Gomer is. "And Beth Togarmah from the far north and all of its troops and many nations with you." I love this part. "Get ready. Be prepared. You and all the hordes that gathered about you and take command of them." Get ready, be prepared. Get ready, be prepared. First and second Thessalonians, I'll get it out in a minute. They lived a life that was ready and prepared like today was their last day. I'm going to throw you up a map, and I'm going to explain where these things are. And hopefully you can read it. If you have the Bible app, I hope it'll make sense to you. And I wish I could spend forever and a year talking to you about it on it, because it's awesome. But let me tell you about some of these places that are on this map. And I'm just going to point out what it looks like for you, okay? So that map, if you're on the Bible app and you see that map and it shows up with you, if you're looking there, Gog and the land of Magog is Russia. Persia is Iran. Meshech is Turkey. Kush is Sudan and Ethiopia, and Put is Libya and Algeria. A lot of folks contend what this matters and why this matters, this battle in Ezekiel that's talked about. Some say it's the beginning of the tribulation. Some say it's the middle of the tribulation. But there's one thing that's in common with all those nations. They're not Christian nations. If you look at where Israel is right now, who are they fighting right now? Almost every one of those nations. Most of them are a different faith. Most of them actually wants the destruction of Israel. If you look what's happening, this is why it's so important, guys. Like, I know that you may not know this and you may not pay attention to it. Like I said, end times prophecy is really cool. But this is why it was so much of a big deal that we moved the embassy of the United States to the capital of Israel in Jerusalem, not Tel Aviv. It's literally biblical prophecy happening in front of our eyes. This is a big deal. This is what starts the messianic era in the Jewish belief and the Jewish faith. What that means for us is it's the birth pains of the end times. What's going to happen in this huge battle is all these nations are going to come together. And like I said, some believe it's the beginning of the tribulation. Some believe it's the middle. We won't fight that or argue that because guess what? We'll be raptured. We won't be here. We'll be eating food and we'll be enjoying ourselves and having fellowship with each other. But why this matters is what's going to happen is Russia and Egypt and more than likely what it looks like will be China. All of them will gather together to come and fight against Israel. And what will happen, I want you to pay attention to this and listen to this. All these nations will come together to that little bitty dot that shows Israel, and then there's a dot on Moscow, Russia, and this is why it's so important. I think it's Moscow, if I remember correctly. If that's wrong, sorry. I might not have done well in geography. This little bitty dot that's called Israel, all of them will come together, and they will fight in the Valley of Jezreel. We talked about valleys not too long ago. If you ever want to dive into that, it's even better. The Valley of Jezreel, they will come together, and the United States and England and the revived Holy Roman Empire will fight against everyone else. So the Western powers will fight the Eastern powers. It's a little scary, isn't it? Hey, does that sound familiar? Hey, did something happen in the 40s that sounds about like that? Only the sides were a little bit tilted. We had the Allies and the Axis powers going back and forth with each other. So much so, I want you to know, Mussolini said he was going to revive the Holy Roman Empire. That's the whole reason why he did what he did as a fascist in Italy, as he was trying to revive the Holy Roman Empire. World War I had the Holy Roman Empire together. That's what started it, right? Like, all these things happen. And when you see these events in this world history, a lot of times we see the Middle East fight is about oil. But for me, I see it about Bible prophecy. This is Ezekiel 38 happening right in front of our face. So what's going to happen is all these nations are going to gather together, and I'm just going to tell you how the battle's going to go. God is going to miraculously save Israel from all of these people coming together. And the crazy part is that may sound so awesome, and it may sound so great, and you think, yes, this is it. This is where it's all going to be, but it's actually going to give rise to the Antichrist. Because at that moment in time, he's going to rise up and act like he brought the victory. And all of a sudden, the tribulation is where Christians will literally cry for mountains to fall down on their heads. It is going to be persecution after persecution. The mark of the beast will be everywhere. All these things will happen. This is what the tribulation is. That is the end times. But for those who know Jesus, we'll be raptured up, snatched away, having the wedding supper of the Lamb. We'll be getting to hang out with Jesus, eating macaroni and cheese and pudding, praise God, watching as this happens in front of us. And the reason I told you about earthquakes earlier is at the end of this battle, a major earthquake will ensue. God always uses earthquakes to symbolize new beginnings in our life. This is where he's talking about the new Jerusalem, a new heaven will come at the end of tribulation. So I want you to know, if you ever follow biblical prophecy without diving too far in, as we see Ezekiel 38 happening in front of us, be because Jesus says he will return, the next thing that is supposed to happen is the rapture. I can't tell you when. And the reason that I know it's the rapture is it says in Revelation, as it talks about that rise of the Antichrist, and when you see that all the way through and in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, it says the stumbling block that is in his way will be removed. You know the only stumbling block in the way of the Antichrist right now rising to power? The church. That's it. And Jesus promises his church he will rapture them up to be with him to not have to deal with this mess. Now, I'm not one for scaring the hell out of you, for lack of a better term. That's just not who I am. But I'd rather tell you the truth with grace and truth than to tell you that I want to be a part of that mess, because I don't. I'm thankful that Jesus died for my sins. I'm thankful that he lets me live here and do what I get to do and be with who I get to be with. So I want to tell you about the rapture. There's so much more about that. There's so much more about the tribulation. But if you are in Christ when the rapture happens, you get to live your life in faith, not fear. The last thing I want to tell you about is the reunion. So we've talked about Jesus is returning. We've talked about Jesus will rapture his church. And the third thing we're going to talk about is the reunion. This is where Christians will be with God forever. This is the second coming. This is it. This is the new Jerusalem and the new earth. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about this. It says this, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with a trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together." This is the tribulation. "With him to the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. And then on the second coming, we will be with him forever." This is my favorite part about the end times. And if I could put a bow on this message, this is exactly what I want you to know. If you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, therefore encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. What better way to encourage someone than loving them right where they are, guys? Encourage one another with these words. Hey, doom and gloom's coming. The sky literally is going to fall. You're going to pray for mountains to fall down on you. This guy called the Antichrist is going to put a mark on you, probably on your Apple iPhone or something. I don't know. There's going to be something in your life that happens. There's going to be something that they mark you with. There's going to be one world, one religion, one power, one government that's going to take over everything. And in that, they will persecute you as Christians. They will be so heinous and so bad, you will beg God to kill you. But nope. Encourage one another with these words. Encourage, guys. That's what we're made to do. I don't stand up here all the time and try to beat you up or beat you down because I don't believe that that's what we're called to do. I live this life with grace and truth to say, encourage one another with these words. Live the Great Commission by loving God and loving others. Because here's how we can be encouraged by this. Because Jesus lived the life that we couldn't live, died the death that we deserved on the cross, rose again on the third day and left an empty tomb, we get to be a glimpse of heaven on earth. We get to be a glimpse of heaven on earth, guys. We are heaven on earth. We are in this world, but not of this world. And what I want you to know is when you love God, you love others, you get to show others what heaven is going to look like. What better way is there to do that? You get to show them something greater than you could ever be. Show them the Savior of their life, because you get to live a life that is heaven on earth. So much so that when they get there, something I heard a long time ago in a way that I want to live, and I've tried to grasp onto it, just to be honest with you. I want to live a life that's heaven so much on earth that when people get to heaven, they aren't surprised what heaven looks like. Because they've already seen it. They've seen glimpses of it. They've seen the light in the darkness. They've seen the hope that only Jesus can bring. They've seen the love of Jesus in the way that I live. They've seen the love of him in everything that I do. And church, we are the thing that stands in the way of the Antichrist right now. And if something happened tomorrow, I would love to know that the world saw heaven and earth through me. I wonder if that could be said of you. Do you live your life that way? Because if you do, you can celebrate. You can worship what we just worshiped. He's the Lord Almighty. He is the one. Like, we can celebrate everything knowing that even if he comes right now, I know where I will spend eternity. I know what's going to happen. And my loved ones know me enough that they know the love of Jesus. Whether they respond to it or not is not up to me. Whether they make that decision to receive the free gift of salvation is not up to me. It is my job to love. I wonder if we could do that. I wonder if we could be the church that's known for that. Not the church when someone says, "I've screwed up my life so much that I can't turn it around." We don't say, "Well, why'd you go do that?" Instead, we say, "Come in, let me show you something that's going to help you.
Let me show you the one that will make you new. Let me show you the one that can heal you the way that no one on this earth can. I wonder if we could do that as the church. I wonder if we would spread the gospel that way. I wonder if we would declare the end of days. And we're getting ready to wrap up here in just a moment. You're going to see the worship team moving behind me. But I want to tell you, in the end, there's something that Jesus wanted me to share today. And I know that this was nothing but the Holy Spirit because he told me about it last night. And I just want to declare this right now. Today may be the end of days for some of you. The end of days of yourself. The end of days of living in religion, the end of days of trying to get it right on your own, the end of days of trying to fix your relationship on your own, fix your finances on your own, fix your health on your own, trying to do everything inside of yourself. Today is the end of days for you because it's the end of self. Will you come to the end of yourself and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is this time? This is your day. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your day to declare we are in the end days. It's the end of this thing bearing me down. It's the end of these things weighing me down because I no longer am responsible for the chains of my sin. I'm no longer responsible for what I've done because there's someone who's gone before me. There is someone who's already done the work. All I have to do is receive it. All I have to do is live it. All I've got to do is love. Do I love my neighbor as myself? Do I love God with all my heart, mind, and soul? So today is the day that you can declare, it's the end of me. It's the end of days. And I'm not afraid. Instead, I'm excited. Instead, I have faith. Instead, I'm celebrating all that God is. So today, if that's you, we're going to get ready to worship. Maybe you're trying to figure out and you're feeling this burden in you and you realize you are at the end of yourself. We're going to have in just a moment a way that you can respond to that. Because it's not about the Bible verses you've got memorized. I could stand up here and tell you all about the end times prophecy. I could tell you all about how great it is. I can tell you all about how great Jesus is and show you where he is from beginning to end and how he is a Savior. But I can tell you even more importantly, he power washed my soul. He made me new. I did nothing to earn his salvation. I freely received the gift that is salvation. I can never live that perfect life. I can never get it right. I can never check off enough boxes. I can never sing enough worship songs. I can never pray the right prayer. It was all about receiving him by faith. And so if that's you today, come to the end of yourself. Declare today is the end days because now is the time for you to respond. If everyone will stand, we're going to pray and get ready for worship. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here to make your name more famous. Jesus, this end of days and these end times that we live in, we get so scared so many times. Instead, I pray that we would move with faith, that we would live with faith, that we would declare the end of ourselves, that we would not try to hang on a rope of anything, that we would cling to the cross, that we would cling to you, that all that we do would make your name more famous, that the world would know you by how we love, that the world would see heaven on earth, that the world would not have to experience what will happen, and instead will get to be with you in eternity because they've received by faith that you are who you say you are. So Jesus, today, wherever we are declaring the end of ourselves. We are declaring the end of us trying to figure it out, the end of us trying to get it right. Because Jesus, it's all about you. It's all yours. We are yours. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
My mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord our God. And on the third, break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, tremble dead, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Sing it out, oh, praise the name. Shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Try to make it through this without breaking down up here on the stage. As we look back and we reflect on the message that Tyler gave, and we look and we think about the question, are we in the end times? And we know the answer is yes. Tyler just gave you all the examples from God's word of why that is. I didn't think this was going to be that hard. As I've prayed about how to present this scripture to you today, and during the message, God was moving, and basically, he gave it to me this way. As Tyler said, there's fear and there's faith. You're living in one or the other. There's no in between. There's no third option. It's fear without Christ, or it's faith in him and who he is and what he's done for us.
And so I want to share this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 17. And this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And this is Paul speaking to you and to me right now. This is Paul speaking to any and everybody that can hear this. There's two types of people, fear and faith. Fear is this first piece from verse 17. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost." Verse 19 says, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Guys, those verses right there are of the people living in fear. There's two types. You believe in Christ and His resurrection, or you don't. You have faith in who Jesus is, the life He lived, the death He died for us, and the victory that He conquered through His resurrection, or you don't. The first group there, 17 through 19, those are those who live in fear and don't believe. And for those, the future is bleak. Their faith leads to nothing. It doesn't matter if you believe Jesus was a real person. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. There is no grace. There is no tomorrow for those who live without Christ. But Paul doesn't stop there and praise Jesus that Jesus didn't stop in the grave either. Because verse 20 says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." So you are here today, and you are either living in fear without Christ, or you are living in faith with Christ, and you have hope for tomorrow because you know that no matter what happens, there is eternity with Him in heaven. That there is more after this life, and it doesn't end here. So you have to make the decision. Do you live the rest of your days in fear, or do you begin to live in faith and have a hope that doesn't diminish, that doesn't decrease, and can never go away, but you have a hope that will last for all eternity? So if you would, bow with me, close your eyes, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray for those who are living in fear right now. And I'm going to ask you, if you are living in fear, and you know that's you, and you're living without Christ right now, but you don't want to live in fear anymore, you want that faith and that hope and that blessed assurance that there is more, then I want you to pray this prayer with me here in just a moment. But I want you to understand, it's not because you say these words, it has nothing to do with the words, but it is the faith behind the words. It is that you believe them and that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, not based off of your merit, not from your good deeds, but from what He accomplished. And only through faith in Him do we have salvation and true hope. So if that's you today and you want to pray that prayer, then pray this with me. And if you're here today and you're scared and you're hesitant to pray this, I want you to know that we're all going to pray this together because nobody prays alone here. And we can all turn to Jesus and repent of our sins. So we're going to pray this together. Lord Jesus, You are my Savior. I turn from my way to You. I lay my life at Your feet. May You help me to follow You and to know You every day of my life the best that I know how. Lord Jesus, thank You for living the life I could not, for dying the death I deserved, and for loving me enough to rise in victory from the grave over sin and death. You, Lord, are my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with every head bowed and eyes still closed, if you're here in the house today and you prayed that for the first time, and you know that you believe what you just prayed, and you are no longer living in fear, but you are living in faith, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. And if you're watching online and you are praying that prayer and you just prayed it and you believe it and you are no longer going to live in fear but live in faith, I want you to comment. I want you to email us. I want you to let us know, because we want to celebrate with you just like we are here in this house. So on the count of three, if that was you, I just want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Good. Lord Jesus, be with us today. Be with us each day as we go forward. Help us to live in faith, not in fear of what comes next, but to know that you hold us all and everything in your hands. You hold it all together. And we don't have to worry about anything else. Lord, help us to draw closer to you each and every day. In every moment, help us to feel your presence and to know that you are with us. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this time. And may you just protect us and bring us back here again. May you help us to live, as Tyler said, in light and not in darkness. Help us to show your love and your grace to others, that they may come to know you as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for joining us online this week. May you have a blessed week. In Jesus' name, see you.